This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحم إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Dear brothers and sisters, inshallah ta'ala, today I'm going to be short and sweet and to the point, and I have two things I want to discuss with you, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. One that is particular to the season and the time of year that we are in, and one is particular to this day and the necessity of this day. Ibn Umar radiallahu an reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said very beautifully, مَنْ تَشَابَهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever imitates a people, then surely he is one of them. Whoever imitates a people is one of them. Why am I using this today? Because when we look around the world right now, the world is in the midst of its joyous festive celebrations. And we as Muslims have to decide, and are living in the West, how we interact within our societies during these times of the years. And this doesn't just happen during this time of the year. It's not during this Christmas time. We see the same thing in Easter, same thing Valentine's Day, same thing with many other celebrations that happen throughout the year in Western civilization. And unfortunately, this has affected the Muslim Ummah for over 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, this topic has been dealt with. And the ulama have used the exact same phrase from the Prophet ﷺ in advising and warning the Ummah, that the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ تَشَابَهَا بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. That whoever imitates a people, he's one of them. He is of them. But I'm not just going to give you rhetoric that has been told before. I want to remind you of something very, very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I've mentioned this very often on this exact minbar, and will continue to repeat this fact. Because the Prophet ﷺ repeated things on numerous occasions to remind the people to not forget. Because we as human beings are forgetful. We forget very, very quickly and easily. If we are not reminded, we forget. There's a reason why Allah legislated for us to pray 5 times a day. There's a reason why Allah said, pray when you get up, pray in the middle of the day, pray in the afternoon, pray in the evening, and then pray again before you go to sleep. Because we as human beings are forgetful. And we forget very quickly. Allah Azza wa Jal gifted humanity with the greatest of gifts. And the greatest of those gifts is guidance. Guidance, your deen, your Islam. And with that guidance, He gave you criteria upon how to remain on that guidance, upon how to live upon that guidance, upon how to act upon that guidance. He gifted you with the noble Quran, which is the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, which the Prophet alayhi salat wa salam said in his farewell sermon is like a rope. One hand of it with Allah, one end of it with Allah Azza wa Jal, and the other end of it with you. If you hold on to it, you'll never go astray, because you have pure righteous guidance. This Quran needs to be a bigger part of our lives, because the Quran is that which guides to what is right. That Quran is that which gives us a model upon which to live our lives, and halal and haram, and Jannah and Nar, and how to behave and not how to be and how to not behave. And then we have the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, the one human individual in history whom we know everything about him. The only messenger sent from Allah Azza wa Jal that I can tell you how he ate, I can tell you how he slept, I can tell you how he walked, how he dressed, how his beard was, how he combed his hair, how he perfumed himself, how he smiled, how his teeth were arranged. Every single small detail about him, I can tell you. Because this is how much care the companions of the Prophet ﷺ gave to dedicating themselves to the Prophet ﷺ. And with this, Allah has given us everything we need. Nothing beyond this. As we said in the beginning of the khutbah, وَشَرَعَ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا, that the worst affairs are something that you place into it. The worst of this affair, this religion of ours, this deen of ours, the worst of it is something which you add to it. Something which you put in it that did not belong. Something that Allah didn't legislate. Something that the Prophet ﷺ did not teach us. We place it as part of our deen. These are the worst of affairs. And when we look around the world today, if you travel all over the globe, the world is in chaos. The world is in utter chaos. Nobody knows what they are doing. The world is in shambles. And I'm not talking about just the West, I'm talking about the world, everywhere you go. From America to Canada, South America to Asia, to Australia, to England, to our countries, to the Middle East, to Africa. We don't have any idea what we are doing. And we are suffering, suffering on top of suffering. Why? Because we have no guidance. We don't know what we are getting ourselves into. And the differences between right and wrong have become muddled. The difference between right and wrong has become great. No one knows today what is right or what is wrong anymore. Even the wrong has become right and the right has become wrong in many places. Now, I want to ask all of you something. If the world is in loss about halal and haram, between right and wrong, what is good, what is evil, what is khair, what is shar, what is munkar, what is anything, who is it left to make that distinction? Who's left on the world to make that distinction? Because humanity has been trying for a millennia to decipher for themselves what is right and what is wrong, and we have ended up with a world that is chaotic. We've ended up in a world where no one knows the right bounds. I mean, look at what's happening in our own country. Look what happened on the other side of this very country. People don't understand right and wrong anymore. Our morals have become so degraded, so delineated, that we don't understand even human value anymore. So, if that is the case, who is it to make the distinction? Who? Is the media going to tell us what is right and wrong? The main propagator of information in the world is the media, the mass media. Are they doing the job of telling right from wrong? Absolutely not. They are the biggest perpetrators of muddling the facts at large. They are the biggest perpetrator of muddling the facts. They tell the truth as falsehood and the falsehood is truth. They are big perpetrators of this mess. So who's responsible? Are our governments responsible? No, they're not responsible. They haven't had that. They themselves are doing their best to figure it out and are failing miserably at trying to decide what's right and what's wrong. Our laws, our legislations, the system's broke. The system at large is broken. It's broken. So who's going to fix it? What about the Nasara? They're doing a good job of spreading their message of love and peace and merriment. Yuletide joy, that they say this time of the year. Are they responsible for right and wrong? Absolutely not, because they have no distinction of right and wrong. They have no aqidah. They have no law. Their very religion teaches them to toss the law. That the law is not meant. The law of God is not meant for man. That man can never perpetrate it perfectly. Therefore, just toss it out and follow man-made laws. That's part of the exact problem. What about other religions? No, because they have all deteriorated their religion so much that it no longer resembles what it originally was. So who's responsible? Who's responsible? We. Us. Us. The Muslim Ummah is the only people on this planet responsible for right and wrong. Us. We are the only ones upon guidance. We are the only ones upon the straight path. We are the only ones that have a book that teaches us clearly halal, haram. This is what you do. This is what you don't do. This is how you do it. This is when you do it. This is why you do it. And this is the repercussions for those who don't do it. And this is the bliss and the joy that comes from doing it. Our deen is plain and simple. The Prophet ﷺ said, I have left you upon that which is clear. Its night is like its day. No one deviates from it except he is lost. The Prophet ﷺ left us upon a very clear plane. Everything that is right and wrong is clearly laid out in Islam. But the problem is it's not making it from those books. Because those books are only books, they're inanimate. That kitab that sits on the shelves, that Quran that sits on those shelves is inanimate. It has no life of its own to go out and propagate itself. And Allah Azza wa Jal told His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that very fact. And He even told him that if I had willed, they all would have believed. Allah does not need anything to teach humanity right and wrong. He could easily guide everyone to the truth and we would live in a utopia. But that will not exist until Jannah. That doesn't exist until Jannah. This world is not meant to be like that. Allah says, if I will, they would have all believed. So then will you kill yourself if they don't believe? Will you then kill yourself if they don't believe? He was telling His Messenger that I could have guided all humanity. They're not all going to come along. But you do your job. You do your job of sharing the message. And He did His job. He changed the world as we knew it. He drew a line in the sand that this is right, this is wrong. This is the proper way of life to live. You can accept it and get on board with this system that is going to make humanity better, or you can be on the outside of it. Very simple. There is no third choice. Either get with it or get lost. And your loss will be a loss in this life and in the next. Very clear. Clear words, not arrogant, just clear that this is what you need. If you want to live a prosperous life, Islam is the solution. It is the solution, hands down, no questions. Our aqeedah teaches us to have no doubt about this fact. ذَلِكُ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ This is the book, there's no doubt in it, and it is a guidance for those who fear Allah. Simple, plain. But again, those books just sit on those shelves. They sit on those shelves, they're not animate. They don't get up and go walk and tell people about themselves. That job of getting that book and the teachings of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is dead, he has passed away, he is gone, he's not with us anymore, he only lives on through his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His message only lives on through the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. But those two things again sit in books. The sunnah is in books. It's in books of hadith. It's in books of narrations. It just sits on shelves. The only way those books will ever make it out to civilization is if we do our job. And that doesn't mean you have to take a Quran and go out and stand on a street corner and tell people what it says all day long. You have a life to live. You have a job to do. I understand that. What that means is that you live that book in your life. You start exemplifying Islam in your actions. You start living Islam. And one of the things that is primary about living Islam is that Islam is different than every other way of life. It's different. It's different. And there are so many occasions the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam commanded us upon that difference. Commanded us upon that difference by saying, Khalifu, Khalifu, be different, al-mushrikeen, than people who associate a partner from Allah. Just be different from them. On so many occasions, even things that themselves were permissible, He would tell us not to do, or to do things differently, just so that we would differentiate themselves. He said that whoever gets a gray hair in Islam, it will be a nur for him on the day of judgment. It will be a light for him on the day of judgment. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, I'm glad I got a couple coming. But at the same time, He said, since the Jews do not diet, you diet. Just avoid black. Why? Khaliful mushrikeen, be different from them. Be different from them. He said, if you have two garments, pray in those two garments. And if you only have one, wrap it around you and pull it up like an izar. Don't hang it over your shoulders. Why? Khaliful mushrikeen. He said, pray in your shoes, because they don't pray in their shoes ever. Khaliful mushrikeen. I could go on and on and on. On and on and on. He said, be different from them. Why? Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ was teaching you honor. He was teaching you dignity. That you needed to differentiate yourself. Because if you're upon guidance and you're the same as everyone else, what makes them want to be like you? If you are exactly the same as everyone else, If your life imitates everything that everybody else that is upon misguidance is doing, you walk like them, you sleep like them, you talk like them, you act like them, you greet each other like them, you marry like them, you divorce like them, you have celebrations like them, what would make them want to be like you? You're trying to be like them. There is no difference. There is no dividing line for them to cross over. You're telling them that Islam is the most pure way of life, but they don't see the difference. The difference must be there. It must be there. It does not mean that we have to be separate from society, but we should be able to live in society, yet be distinctly unique. Distinctly unique upon guidance. When everyone is doing one thing, I'm not doing it on that day. When people are having turkey, nobody said turkey is haram. But guess what? I'm not going to have turkey on this day just because I'm going to be different. I'm just going to be different on this day. I'm not going to eat turkey on this day. I'm not going to give you a gift on this day. I won't. Even if it's halal to give you a gift, I won't give it to you on this day because I will not imitate them. I will differentiate myself by all means necessary from people who are upon misguidance. Not because I'm arrogant. Not because I want to have some idea of dominance. No, because I want to show them that I'm different. I want them to realize that what I have is different from what you have. And it's better than what you have. And it's more beneficial than what you have. And it's clearer than what you have. And it will lead you to righteousness better than what you have. If we're not doing that, then who's going to do it? Tell me right now. If the world goes to hell in a handbasket, do you not think that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to share in some of that responsibility? Wallahi, we're going to share in it. We're going to share in it. Because this was taught by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and Umar also taught it, that if Allah is displeased with the people and He sends His punishment to them, He doesn't spare the righteous among them. He doesn't spare the righteous, especially if those righteous among them are not warners and they are not people who are trying to change the condition of what is around them. We gotta wake up to this idea. مَن تَشَابَهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ Whoever imitates a people, he is of them. He is one of them. He is one of them. We have to be careful with what we're doing. It doesn't mean you have to dress a certain way or act a certain way. If something is known as a dress from just amongst them, then you differentiate in that. But what it is more is an attitude. It is an attitude. Your heart needs to be different. Your akhlaq needs to be different. Your manners, your speech, your worship, everything about you, your demeanor, the way you do business, the way you get married, the way you divorce, the way you have children, the way you celebrate, all of that is different. And Allah Azza wa Jalla reiterates this fact in Surah Al-Ma'idah, when Allah says that the Yahuda wa Nasara, don't take them as awliya. Don't take them as protectors above you. Why? Because they are only awliya liba'd, to one another, for themselves. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, for sure, whoever takes them as an awliya, fa'innahu minhum. Then without a doubt, he is one of them. Without a doubt, he is one of them. He's one of them. Subhanallah. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, whoever adds to the generation of a people, he is counted as a being amongst them and will be resurrected with them. We have to be careful, ya ikhwan wa akhwat, of what we're doing. We're living here in the West, absolutely. We live here in America, absolutely. You have an opportunity to worship Allah very beautifully in this country if you take advantage of it. But we need to differentiate that we are upon righteousness, that we have certain morals and etiquettes that we live upon, and that is not decided based upon societal norms. Music doesn't teach us our manners. Movies don't teach us how to behave. The media is not going to tell us how to think. We're not going to be influenced in how we raise our children by what you teach us in school. No, we have a book, we have a messenger, and this is how we live our lives. This is how we mandate our affairs. And it is pure, it is clean, and it is pristine. We don't need anything else. We need to teach this to our children, because I'm afraid that we're raising a generation that you're not going to be able to distinguish them from anyone else. I'm afraid we're raising a generation of youth, Muslims, who will be raised up, who you won't be able to distinguish from the average Joe Blow in the streets, who is upon misguidance, who, if they live like that, will go to hellfire. Subhanallah. We have something that will lead us to Jannah. When we get in Jannah, everything else will not matter. It won't matter how much you were laughed or mocked at or ridiculed or what you went through in this life. It won't matter anymore. What will matter is that you made it to Jannah. And no one will ask each other, how did you get to Jannah? Did you get here easy? Was it hard for you? We won't care anymore. We'll be in Jannah. But everyone else is only destined for one place, and that is Jahannam. There is no medium. There is no vacation spot. There is no euphoric place that if you don't make it into these two, there's a third option. There is no difference. And we know for sure, without a doubt, in our lives, that only people following Islam, upon guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal, believing in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are going to make it to Jannah. I'm not going to sit here and play games with you about that. There is no difference of opinion anywhere by anyone. Everyone else is only destined for one place. We need to get out and try to solve that problem and fix that. Help them come on this side. But you can't tell them that what I have is better than what you have if you're no different. If what you're offering is not better than what they already have, or any different than what they already have, then what are you selling? What are you offering me? What you're offering me doesn't seem to be any different than what I have. And actually, if I listen to the media's point of view, it's much worse than I already have. So tell me, what do you have? What do you have? We need to know what we have so we can deliver it to them, insha'Allah ta'ala. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, this should scare you to death. If this statement doesn't frighten you to your core, then your iman needs some work. مَنْ تَشَابَهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ Whoever imitates a people, he is one of them. أقول قرض هذا واستغفر ولكم فاستغفره إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والذين تابعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمَّا بَعْدُ. I think that point is clear. That we are living in a time where the truth is known as false and the falsehood is known as truth. And we are living in a time of the year where there's a lot of things going on that can cause us to fall under the context of مَنْ تَشَابَهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. That whoever imitates the people is of them. Tonight, inshaAllah ta'ala, the evening halaqah will be all about this time of the year, the season of this time of the year, the celebrations that go on at this time of the year, their roots, their origins, their reality to save our children and ourselves from them, because there's a huge fitna that is starting to affect the Muslim community. So inshallah ta'ala, tonight after Salatul Isha, we will go through those origins in detail, and you'll be shocked. You will be quite shocked at how some of the most seemingly harmless things that we might find ourselves falling into come from the most demonic pagan origins. Be careful, ya akhwan akhwat. Please protect yourself from these things. We've been given a pure religion. Stick to it. We need nothing else, insha'Allah. And as we're finishing, I want to tell you a little story, because today you're going to be called to account. And I've said this story before. I'm going to tell it to you again. I like repeating stories because we need to hear them over and over again. And there's nothing better. The Quran is oft-repeated. Oft-repeated. There was a time at the companions in Medina where there was an orphan who wanted to build a wall. He wanted to build a wall. And the reason I'm telling you this story today is you're going to have to decide to be one of these two people today that I'm going to tell you about. There was two people in the story. Two main players of this story, and you will have to decide to be one of them. And this orphan wanted to build the wall, but while building this wall, there was a tree that he ran into that prevented him from finishing the wall. And what he had to do was either take this tree down or incorporate this tree into his property. So he needed to possess the tree, but the tree belonged to his neighbor. So he went to his neighbor and he asked his neighbor to give him the tree. The neighbor said no. I'm trying to remember the name. I'll probably remember it by the end of the story. I'm jet lagged. Just made it from London a day ago. The neighbor said no. I'm not going to give you the tree. And so he said, okay, just sell me the tree. He said, no, I'm not going to sell you the tree. I'm not going to sell you the tree. The orphan was very sad. So he went and complained to Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know the special place the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for orphans, yeah? You all know that special place. He said, whoever takes care of the orphans will be like this with me on the Day of Judgment. Like this. So he had a special place for orphans. So he was very upset at how this orphan was being dealt with. So he called the neighbor to him. And he said, I'm trying to remember the name. He said, sell him this tree. And he said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I'm not selling the tree. It is my haqq. This is my right. This tree is my right. I don't have to sell it to him. So our Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, well then just give it to him. Sadaqah, give it to him. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, this is my tree. He must have really loved the tree. The tree had some special value to him. He said, I'm not giving up the tree. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, all right, I'll make you a deal. If I can promise you a tree like this tree in Jannah, will you give it to him? If I promised you, if you give this young man this tree, I will promise you a tree in paradise. Will you take the deal? Now let me tell you what the man was being offered. Not only was he being offered a tree in Jannah, but for those of you who have a tree in Jannah, if you have a tree in Jannah, you're not going to be in Jahannam looking at your tree. You're not going to be telling your cellies, your cellmates in Jahannam, you see that tree over there? That's my tree. That's my tree. No, no, no. If you have a tree in Jannah, inshallah, you will see that tree. So the man is being offered paradise on a platter for a tree. For a tree. The Prophet ﷺ is making a deal with him. The man said, no. Keep my tree. Keep your tree in Jannah, I keep my tree. Subhanallah. So the Prophet ﷺ looked at the boy, said, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing else I can do. I offered the man paradise. For God's sake, what do you want me to give him? I don't have anything else to give him. I don't have anything that can closely equate to that. So the orphan began to walk away sad. Now, this man was well within his rights to keep his tree. It was his tree. He didn't have to give it to the boy. He didn't have to give it to the Prophet ﷺ. He had to give it to no one. And he committed no sin. No sin. He didn't commit a sin because it's his tree. He doesn't have to give it to anyone. So he was well within his rights to keep it. But there was another man that was watching this happen. And his name was Abu Dahdah. Now Abu Dahdah رضي الله عنه owned one of the most beautiful orchards in all of Medina. It was well known. The scholars say between 400 to 600 to 800 beautiful date palm trees, as well as his house was within the orchard. Now Abu Dahdah saw in front of him an opportunity. He saw an opportunity in front of him. And he decided to take advantage. So he went to the man. And he said, do you know of my garden? Do you know of my garden? Do you know of my orchard? The man said, there's not a person in Medina except they know of your garden. Come on, man. Yeah, you're just bragging? I mean, you know, there's not everybody knows of your garden. He said, now, this is the point of decision. Because Abu Dahdah could have negotiated with him. Said, look, I'll give you 5 trees. 10, 50, 100. Give me 200. I'll give you half of the whole thing. Abu Dahdah saw what was at stake. He saw what was at stake because he asked the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, if I can get this tree and give it to this orphan, can I get that same tree in Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, the deal's still open. So Abu Dahdah saw what was at hand. He saw the stakes were large. This was huge. This was not something to be missed. So what did he say to the man? If I give you my entire orchard, everything, if I give you all of it, will you give me that tree? He went all in. I know you've heard that term before, going all in. He went all in. He wasn't going to play around with the chance to miss this tree in Jannah. He went all in. This is all I got. It's all or nothing. All or nothing. He played his whole hand. The man said, are you serious? Are you serious? He said, yes. He said, I'm serious. So he called everybody around and said, bear witness that Abu Dahdah has offered me his entire orchard for this tree. He said, I give it to you. The tree's yours. Take it. And then Abu Dahdah told the orphan, it's yours. Do with it as you wish. Now, Abu Dahdah had just made a transaction. His entire possession in this life for a tree in Jannah. Now he had to go home and break the news to his wife. He had to go home and break the news to his wife that he's given away everything. We don't even have a place to live anymore. This was a test for him on top of the test he'd already just faced. He had already won the first one. Now he's got to deal with the second one. The second one sometimes can be fierce. So he went and he didn't go inside the garden. He decided to stay outside. It's safer here maybe. Maybe it's safer standing here when I break this news. So he called into the garden. He said, Ya Dahdah, come out, because I've sold this garden. Sold it. It's sold. This is how he looked at it. He looked at it as a tijara. I sold it. She said, okay, what did you sell it for? It's worth a lot of money. Where are we moving? He said, I sold it for a tree in Jannah. Sold it for a tree in Jannah. Now, brothers, I don't know how well this will go over your house. I really don't know. You might have to stand more than outside. You might have to call from another country and say that you've done this. If not, may Allah bless your spouses and give you righteous, pious children, insha'Allah. She said, Ya Abu Dahda, what a beneficial trade. What a prosperous transaction you have made. She went and got her children. And her children were playing in the orchard. And they had in their pockets rocks and dates. You know how children play. She started reaching into their pockets, emptying the things that were in their pockets. She said, this doesn't belong to us anymore. This belongs to Allah. This belongs to Allah. Let's go. And they just left. They just left. Now, the reason I'm telling you that today is because today you're going to be given an opportunity after Jum'ah to decide which one of these people you want to be. Do you want to be the man who owned the tree that didn't want to give it up? It was his right. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. Keep what belongs to you. Khair. No problem. Or are you going to be like Abu Dahda and go after what is in front of you? Go after the prosperous trade. Go after the beneficial transaction. And decide how much you're going to go in. Because this is what life is all about. Allah gives you things. Allah benefits you with things. He entrusts things to you. They don't belong to you. If you think anything in this life is owned by you, you're a fool. You're a fool. Because even your own self is not, you don't own it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We belong to Allah. Allah is the owner of everything. You don't own even your own body. It's not at your disposal. Allah take it and turn it right back to the dust He created it from. The property you own doesn't belong to you. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam once asked his companions, and this is what we finish with, which one of you likes the property of his inheritors more than he likes his own property? It's about Abu Hurairah in the collection of Imam Muslim. Which one of you likes the property of his inheritors, means that which you leave to your inheritors, more than you like your own property which you possess? The companion said, Ya Rasulullah, none of us, there's not one of us, but we love our own property more. We love our own property more. He said, then know that your property is that which you give to Allah. Your property is that which you give to Allah. That which you keep for yourself is the property of your inheritors. This is the reality of this life. Death is real. Death is haqq. It's going to come to us. This life has to come to an end. You're going to leave everything behind. The only thing that you will benefit yourself with is that which you used now. Used now. If not, you will leave it behind. You will leave it behind. You might leave it behind today, tomorrow, next week, but I guarantee you, you're going to leave something behind. Decide what you're going to leave behind. Are you going to leave behind property that is going to go to someone else, that is going to be destroyed one day, or are you going to leave behind good? Good deeds. I'm in a salihah. Because for sure, all of us on the Day of Judgment will wish that we could come back to do that which we were supposed to do with what we had. Allah says it in the Quran, that when angels come to them and the death approaches them, they'll say, Rabbi irji'un, my Lord, send me back. Why? Why do they want to go back? لَعَالِي أَمِلَ صَالِحَا فِي مَا تَرَتْ. So I can do some good with that which I left behind. So you will make that choice today, insha'Allah ta'ala. Please, decide to get involved. I want everyone to know that this masjid runs upon this community. It's a beautiful center, masha'Allah. The struggle that went forward to put this center into existence was a long, hard struggle. I was there. I saw it with my own two eyes. I was a part of it. But the beauty that has come out of the end is spectacular, and it's only in its infancy. This community center is only in its infancy. It just began. It has not even taken its first steps really yet. There's so much more that can be accomplished and that desires to be accomplished with this community. But that becomes very hard to do if this community has to fight and struggle just to keep the doors open. If it has to fight and struggle just to keep the lights turned on. If it has to fight and struggle just to continue to provide heat for you so that you don't freeze half to death sitting here listening to this khutbah. This is a service that is being given to you. What are you giving back, insha'Allah? My only request for you, there's going to be a brother who's going to talk to you afterwards. My only request for you is to do something very simple. And this is not something impossible for anyone to do. But if you do it, I guarantee you, you'll see this community reach levels that you've never seen before. Every Yawmul Jumu'ah, before you come here, make sure that you come here with at least a Abraham Lincoln bill in your pocket. $5. $5. There's not a single person in this building, I'm almost assured of, that doesn't have that capacity. $5. If you can do 10, mashallah, no less than 5 in your pocket. And when you come here, put it in that bucket on the way out. It's an easy process to do. If you were to do simply that, you would see this community be able to offer more services and benefit you and your children and your families and your spouses like no other community in the Twin Cities. But that is in your hands. All they can do is ask and beg and plead. Don't make them do that. That's not befitting of a Muslim. That's not befitting of a believer to have to beg you all the time. Please, $5. That's all it would take. Put $5 in your pocket. Take it out from the ATM. Whatever you need to do every Jummah before you come here. Put $5 in that bucket on your way out. I think that's a pretty simple process that we all can achieve, inshallah ta'ala. And come tonight so that we can learn to protect ourselves from some of this fitna. Because for sure, من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم. Whoever imitates a people, he is one of them. So for me, I'm going to imitate the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims in hopes that Allah will resurrect me as one of them, inshaAllah. رَبَّنَا أَتِينَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على قوم الكافرين اللهم أسألك إن الجنة فردوس العالى يا رب العالمين وأعوذ بك من النار وأعوذ بك من النار وأعوذ بك من النار سبحانك ربك رب العزة عما يصفون سلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وأقيم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي الصلاة حي الصلاة أقمت الصلاة أقمت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر.